You're listening to Shore Street Presbyterian Church Podcasts. This morning, Alvin continues our series, Strengths for the Stressed. How to deal with the hurt in your heart that other people have caused you.
Romans chapter 12. And verse 9 through to the end, we're at page 1139. We're in this series in Psalm 23, and I think we finish it next week, possibly. So today we're thinking about how to deal with those hurts that other people cause us when they say things or do things to us or to those that we love, and just trying to deal with some of that stuff in our lives. Romans 12, verse 9, it's about relationships within the church family and wider than that. So this is God's word. Absolutely love God's word. Just absolutely love it because he speaks as we listen. So love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's how we're to love each other in church. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you that are on the outside. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's not always possible, but as far as it's possible. Do not take revenge when someone's hurt you, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, God's justice. You know, most people who have been wronged, you hear it on TV all the time, they're in courts and all they want is justice for their family. That's something that's God's. There's a day of justice coming when the wrongs of this world will be righted. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So in the meantime, what are we to do? Well, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wasn't that a famous quote from Martin Luther King? Evil cannot overcome evil. Only good can. Darkness cannot overcome darkness. Only light can. How do you deal with the hurt in your heart that other people have caused you? That's the Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, i.e. those who have hurt me, wronged me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Everybody hurts sometimes. You're sitting here today and inside there's hurt in your heart. I love Adele, the singer. I love her song, I suppose, the biggest song. She sung Someone Like You. How many folks know that song? Oh, great, three of you. Great, that's good. It's the raw honesty in the song. You know, she is absolutely brokenhearted by a relationship that she did not end. Her boyfriend did. And I love the way that she sings it. There's this wee picture, I think it's from the Royal Albert Hall or somewhere. I'll show you a clip now. So she's singing this in front of all these people. And she comes to the end of the song. We're just picking it up at the end of the song. And just she starts to cry because this isn't just a song she's written about somebody else. This is a song about her own broken heart. And the whole congregation, the whole caboodle stand up and clap and applaud her. And do you know why they do? Because many of them have experienced what she has just sung about. A heart that's hurting and a heart that's broken. Do you want to see it? Too bad if you don't, Jurgen.
Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah, yeah,
and you know, I just think people appreciate somebody being so open, because most of us don't be open with the pain that we're feeling in our hearts. You know, sometimes you walk into church on a Sunday morning and everybody you look at seems so happy. They look so happy. They smile as if they are so happy. And inside your heart's breaking, hurting. You know, probably some of the deepest wounds and hurts in our lives are caused by other people. People are sources of incredible joy and blessing, but also incredible stress and hurt and pain. And the truth is, you can't stop people hurting you in this life. So what can you do then? How do you deal with the hurts in your heart? That's what today is all about. And on your wee sheet, you'll see suggest four things not to do when people hurt you. Three things God, from this verse five, that God wants you to do. So here they are. Number one, don't ignore the hurt that you feel inside you. Don't suffer in silence. Don't hope that that hurt will somehow go away. Don't say, I'll be okay. Don't worry about me. I'll be over. I'll get over it. And don't deny that you have been hurt and that you are still hurting. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Don't keep putting off dealing with it. Psalm 39, verse 2 and 3. Do you want to read that with me? With faith and love. 1, 2, 3. I kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. I became very angry inside. And as I thought about it, my anger burned. The truth is, small hurts, if not dealt with at the time, will only grow and fester and get infected and become big hurts in your life. You need to deal with those hurts, those wounds today. Number two, don't run from the hurt that you feel inside you. You know, sometimes we feel we just can't face it. I can't face the hurt and pain inside. So you try to run from it emotionally, even sometimes physically. You know, stories, I was watching a wee video of a girl who was such hurt and pain, she moved town. She moved from the west of America to center America just to try and get away from it. Well, that doesn't work. It's never going to work. You know, Psalm 55 says, I wish I had the wings like a dove. Then I'd fly away and rest. I would hurry to my place of escape. You won't. Because wherever you go, you'll carry that pain with you. And when people panic, when we try to escape our problems and our pain, we do so. People do it in so many different ways. Some people do it with a wee bit of retail and therapy, you know, shopping. Sometimes people use that to try and get rid of pain. Some people use escapism, whether it's, you know, TVs, movies, entertainment. Some people do it by binge drinking or binge eating or drugs or holidays or even cleaning. I mean, some people do it. I don't know why. You know, cleaning. The trouble is that when you return from your own particular escape hole, those same problems, that same hurt, that pain is still there waiting for you to deal with. Hasn't gone away. Some of you are old enough to remember the 80s. How many people here remember the 80s? Great. Good. A lot of you. Super. We need a younger congregation, more trendy congregation. So there's a group in the 80s called the Eagles. How many people remember them? Oh, great. So do you want me to sing? So it's another tequila sunrise. So tequila is a drink, as you well know. And it's another tequila sunrise. This old world is still the same. It's another frame. In other words, after a night of drunkenness, they got drunk to try and deal with the problems, try and, you know, for a few minutes get away from it. And the morning comes and nothing's changed, is what the song said. Nothing's solved. The problem's still there. The pain's still there. It hasn't gone away. It's a frame. Yeah. Number three, don't hide the hurt that you feel inside you. Some people run from the hurt. Others try to ignore the hurt. Some people try to hide the hurt. They wear a mask and they cover up the pain that they feel inside. So you come into church and you meet somebody and you smile and you say, they say to you, well, how are you? Oh, great, not so bad. What about yourself? Oh, I'm great, I'm not so bad. What about yourself? Good. Football was great last night. Oh, it was great last night. Yeah, good stuff. And we go, isn't that right? We do it all the time, you know. We stuff it down, we hide it away, we put on a brave face. Well, who would want to really know about my pain? Because nobody would really understand and nobody would really care and nobody can really help me, we tell ourselves. We convince ourselves, and sometimes, honestly, that's the truth, and sometimes, honestly, it's only our pride stopping us sharing with a close friend. Not everybody, but a close friend. Folks, you know, the question is always in my mind, how do we build in Shore Street an atmosphere, a culture of openness, of honesty, of transparency, where it's okay not to be okay on a Sunday morning? Where you can find a safe place to share some of the deepest struggles, some of the hurts, the wounds, the pain, without feeling that you're going to be judged or condemned. A place where you can feel loved with affection, accepted just as you are, with all the hurts and pain that you carry deep inside. Do you know, folks, we're real people. We have real hurts, real disappointments, real pain, and we desperately need one another. And James 5 says, confess your what? Your faults to one another so that you may be what? Healed. Rick Warren says, revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. He always comes up with these kind of wee things. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. And something very powerful happens when you verbalize, speak out into the open, bring out into the open your sins, your faults. That's why God says to you, don't just tell it to me. Bring it out into the open. But it's also true when you speak out and verbalize to a close friend, not everybody, the hurts that you feel, the pain that you carry, the wrong that's been done or still being done to you. It's like this prison door opens up inside you, a light inside you switched on, and you step out of the darkness that's controlled you for so long. Folks, I'm very aware that some of you carry wounds and hurts, and they're buried so deeply inside you for months and years and decades. And you can't get well. You'll never be free while you bury that pain and hurt deep inside you. Psalm 32, do you want to read that with me? When I kept things to myself, 1, 2, 3. When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside me. I moaned all day long. I suppose one of the best places, you know, to share, and one of the safest places to share is in some kind of small group, a home group, a life group, a group where you serve with others. Because it's in that safe, caring context of trusted relationships that you can begin to love and be loved, care and be cared for. I mean, have you ever come into church thinking that you're the only one in this church who has a past like this or who carries pain like this? And I want to say to you, you're not the only one. You're not alone. You will find hope and you will find help and you will find healing if you take that courage and share your pain. And we're here to help you. That's why we're here. Number four. Don't let the hurt inside you turn into resentment. It happens so easily, folks. Somebody hurts you, they leave a wound. The wound is real, it's raw, it's open. And it so easily then becomes infected with bitterness and resentment. Resentment will always make you bitter, not better. Isn't that the truth? Resentment always makes you bitter, not better. Resentment eats away at you and will destroy you. It won't destroy the person or the people who've hurt you. When you've been hurt, deeply hurt by someone, you can so easily become angry, bitter, cynical, and resentment. What does Job 18, verse 4 say? You're only hurting yourself with your anger. And folks, I just want to caution you, lovingly, gently say to you, it's so easy to lock yourself into a prison of pain when you have been hurt and wounded, isn't it? I mean, none of this stuff is easy. There are no easy answers to all of this. But you and you alone can deal with it, and deal with it you must if you want to be healed eventually and if you want to be set free. So what steps does God want you to take to deal with the hurt and pain that's inside you? Well, there are three symbols, pictures, which God gives us in this verse. And I think they are three steps in the journey to healing the hurt that you feel. There's no magic wand, no quick fix, no easy solution. The road to healing is a journey which takes time, but it is that. It's a road to recovery, and it's well worth going along that road with all the struggles that you'll go through. So here they are, three steps. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Number one, allow God to deal fairly with those who have treated you unfairly. And how do you do that? You hand your hearts over to God. Folks, if you ever want your heart to be healed and to be freed from that pain inside you, then there are some difficult choices for you to make. And the question is, will you handle your hurt God's way or your way? Will you hand over your hurt to God, or will you hold it in your hands? Will you trust God with your pain? I mean, take a wee minute to think about Psalm 23. Think what God's saying to you. He's saying there are people who have hurt you all around you. They've treated you unfairly, but listen, stop looking at what they have done to you and instead start looking at what I am doing for you. Oh, what's he doing for us in this verse? I'm preparing a table for you because I am providing at this table all that you need, and I am protecting you from those who have hurt you and who surround you. And the top of the page says, do you want to read this? Because it's such important for Romans 12, 7 and 9. Never pay back evil. Let's do it enthusiastically. 1, 2, 3. Never pay back evil for evil. Never offend yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Those are the verses that we read. Never pay back. Never offend yourself. Folks, revenge will never relieve your pain. It will only keep your pain alive. And the only way that you're ever going to get relief and release from your pain is to forgive those who have hurt you so deeply. To forgive someone is to say, what you did to me was totally wrong. It hurts me. It hurts me deeply. But I am handing you over to God and trusting that he will deal with you fairly. I'm choosing to forgive you because I want to be released from this hurt and I want to be freed from this pain today. I mean, that's an incredible thing. That here's a step that you can take today, just sitting where you're sitting, standing where I'm standing. It only marks the beginning of a journey. And it's much harder if the person who has hurt you in the past is still hurting you in the present. I totally, honestly get that. But the wee challenge question is a challenge, isn't it? Would you choose today to forgive that person, those people, for the wrong that they have done to you or to your family? That is a choice that anyone in this room has to make. You either say, no, I won't. Or yes, it will be a battle, but I will. Number two, allow God to pour the oil of his healing over you, to bathe your wounds and heal your hearts. Because the verse goes on to say, you anoint my head with oil. In the Bible, anointing with oil is a symbol of healing. That's why in our healing service, we always have somebody with a wee bottle of oil and we anoint people. Mark 6 there, it's in your notes. Do you want to read that with me? The disciples drove out, 1, 2, 3. The disciples drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Super. We know from Psalm 147 that God loves to heal the brokenhearted, those who are deeply, deeply hurt and wounded. It tells you God heals a broken heart and then binds up, bandages their wounds. And once you've made that choice to forgive that person, does that mean that the hurt and pain will disappear? No, no way it's going to disappear. Forgiveness is a painful choice you make because you hurt so much. But after you've made it, the pain will still be there and the healing process can take days, weeks, months, years, depending on the size of the wound in your heart, before you're ever restored or set free. But the moment you make that choice, you are now on that road to freedom and on this road to recovery. And on this road, there are a couple of things that are helpful. Three things I mentioned. Number one, worship is so helpful and so healing. Just being in God's presence, worshiping with God's people, or worshiping your own with a music on your phone or CD. Have you ever experienced that you're in pain, great pain? You come into a worship service and you start to worship and then the tears flow. And sometimes you get embarrassed, but it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing when tears flow in worship because it's just a sign of God's presence bringing healing to your heart. That's why extended worship times are so beautiful and powerful. They give God an opportunity to minister into the deepest wounds in your heart. Receiving prayer ministry is so helpful and so healing. Do you know, in my own life, I often tell the story that I carried, all I can describe it, was a concrete block of pain that really sat just like that on my heart. For 5 years, it sat there. I was a minister at this time in the West. I was ministering to other people. I was praying with other people. But this concrete block of pain just caused by hurts and wounds from other people just sat on my heart. And some of it stretched back a long time. And then in prayer ministry, I received prayer and some people prayed with me and it was messy, but it was good because God in his graciousness just reached into that pain and just lifted that pain from me. I do not have a concrete block of pain today, thankfully. Because I went to the prayer team and I said, look, I'm carrying pain and I don't want to carry it any longer. Could you help me? Are we prayer team? Some of them, one or two of them will be here to my right, you know, at the end of the service. If you feel it would be helpful to, you know, go and chat to them or meet with them later, whatever. Our heart is for privacy. Our heart is for support. Our heart is just to do whatever we can do to help you. And number three, helping others to come through the pain that you yourself are coming through can be so helpful and healing because you're not focusing on yourself, you're focusing on other people and their needs, and you're taking your eyes off yourself. It's a good thing to do. Focus on others. It helps you in the journey of healing. So do you need to receive the oil of God's healing on your wounds? Because he definitely wants to heal you. What steps do you need to take? Third, final one, allow God to flood your life with his incredible blessings and joys, which will more than satisfy the deepest needs and longings in your hurting heart. The verse goes on to say, my cup overflows. That's a sign of abundance, superabundance, plenty, over, too much, way too much. You know, I often say, God is more than enough for you. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your past, whatever your present, whatever your pain, God is more than enough for you. He can heal your heart. Somebody also said, you never know that God is all that you need until God is all that you've got. So true, so true. But often we look for other things, other people to meet our deepest needs for love and acceptance and affection and self-worth and value and all those things. And then you get disappointed and get hurt when they can't do it. They can't do it. Other people can't do it. Only God can satisfy the deepest longings in your hearts. And the deepest longing of every soul is for hope and for love and for joy. I've written them down in three verses that speak of hope and of love and of joy. I love these verses. Do you want to read Romans 15 with me? And may the God of hope, let's do that, 1, 2, 3. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Second one, 1 Thessalonians, you want to read that one with me? May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And final one, John 16, ask, 1, 2, 3, ask using my name and you will receive and your cup of joy will overflow. Hope, love, joy, healing. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and wondered to yourself, you know, just how long you should stay? You know, Linda sometimes would say to me, now, when we go in here, don't be staying too long, you know, don't be staying too long. How do you know? Like, it's a delicate art, isn't it, to know how long you should stay in somebody's house, you know. You know, when they start opening the door, probably that's a good sign that it's time to go. In the Middle East, it's much easier, though. So here's how it works in the Middle East. You drink from the cup, and if your host refills your cup, that means you're welcome to stay a bit longer. And as long as he keeps refilling your cup, that's a sign that you are welcome to stay. And when he overfills your cup, that's not a mistake. That's not something's gone wrong and your cup overfills and overspills. It's a sign of him saying to you that you're a delight to have, you're a joy to have, you're a pleasure to have. Stay as long as you want. Psalm 23 says, my cup overflows. What does God, my Father, think of me in Jesus? Answer. Our loving Heavenly Father absolutely delights in you in Jesus with great and overflowing joy. I mean, isn't it just one of the most fantastic things about being a follower of Jesus that we who once by nature and by choice were sinners saying to God, I don't want you in my life. That now, by his outrageous generosity and grace, we are welcomed right into his presence through the doorway of the cross. And this side of the cross, we can enjoy the Father's presence, rest in the Father's love, live life forever and eternity in his pleasure and his joy. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Folks, I just want to say this to you. I've been a Christian a long time, and yet I struggle to grasp the gospel and the gospel truth that through saving grace in Jesus, by his work for me upon that cross, that now I am not only forgiven for my past with all its guilt and shame and pain, but here and now and forever as God's precious and much loved son or daughter, he's saying to you, you are so welcome through the cross into my home, into my presence. You are much loved by me. You are my precious daughter, my much loved son, and I love you. I delight in you. I find joy in you now and for all of eternity. Wow. Do you believe that? Do you believe that through Jesus and through the cross, the Father looks at you today with delight in those eyes and joy in his heart? Because in Christ, you are loved with affection. Accepted in the beloved, affirmed in Christ as having worth and value and significance and purpose, and got a stamp of approval. You are loved. If only we grasp the gospel. Let's take a wee moment to be quiet, and then we'll sing. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Do you want to stand? And I'll pray, and then we'll sing it. So did it make any sense to you? Were you sitting there and feeling to yourself and thinking to yourself, this is me, this is me. I carry disappointments. I carry hurts. I carry pain from the past. I do. That's me. I guess that's most of us, folks, honestly. Most of us, you rarely go through life without picking up pain. And so it's a beautiful thing about being in God's family, and just that God wants to deal with that pain, release that pain, and set you free to enjoy in his presence forever. So, Father, will you come today? You're here. Lord, we know you're here through your risen, exalted, beautiful Son, Jesus. And by your Holy Spirit, Jesus, will you come and will you touch every heart in this room? Don't let any heart remain unstirred, unshaken, unmoved by this. Just as you turn your eyes upon Jesus, as you look full in his wonderful face, just let healing flow even as we sing this song. Let open your heart, choose to open your heart to God and say, God, my heart needs healing. I'm hurt, I'm wounded, I'm angry at you, I'm disappointed by people that I thought loved me. Whatever the emotion is that you're feeling. And just let that gentle oil of God's Spirit just flow into your life. Just have courage to let God deal with some of the pain in your heart.
Thanks for tuning in to another Shore Street Presbyterian Church podcast. You'd be so welcome at any of our services on a Sunday. We have three services. Our first is at 9:45. Our second is at 11 a.m. And our third is at 6:30 in the evening. You'd be so welcome.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.